believers. There's so much about the Almighty God that we, in our limitations, can understand. Only so much has been revealed to us. God is infinite and omniscient. What I'm confident about is that what has been revealed, the mysteries that have been revealed through the Holy Spirit, is sufficient. It provides all that we need to be well equipped to know Him, to follow Him, and to serve Him, and to live for Him. In Jesus' time, many denied His deity, just like many today deny His deity. But what we know through the Scripture is that Jesus always was, always is, and forever will be. And He was with God from the beginning. And in time, He took on the form of a man. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And He lived as a man. And that's something that sometimes we can lose sight of. He, as a little boy, undoubtedly skinned his knee. He knew the pain of a skinned knee, and he likely sought the comfort of his mother, like all little children do. He cut his hair. He had dirty fingernails. He knew what it was like to have a bad night's sleep. And although he's never dealt with the traffic of the Beltway, he does know what it's like to travel in large groups and be around large groups of people and have to deal with that. He knew the pain of losing a loved one. But because he was deity, he knew the pain that we would suffer through eternal separation from God. And Jesus had a voice, and there are people that walked on this earth that touched Him and knew Him and smelt Him and heard His voice and heard His voice singing. There are many of you that could come stand behind me and talk, and I would know exactly who you were. There were people that walked on this earth that knew Jesus' voice in that way. And there are people on this earth that knew Jesus' singing voice, because he sang songs and hymns. And they would recognize His voice. And how great it would be to hear it, the voice of Jesus, singing songs about Himself, singing songs from the Psalms that point to Him, that are about Him. And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 30, it says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. On the night He was betrayed, knowing that the cross lay just ahead, Jesus sang." There's many people believe that it was during the time of Passover that the hymn was part of the Hallel, which is Psalms 113 through 118, which was traditionally sung at Passover. Psalm 118 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." See, Jesus sang with His disciples just hours before He would be arrested. just hours before he would be beaten and crucified. And he's saying not because the road was easy, but because his trust in the Father was unshakable. His obedience was full and his mission was clear. And so he sang. But not long after, we hear his voice again. But not in praise, but in pain. In Matthew 27, verse 46, it reads the words of Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, from the cross, Jesus cried out the opening line of Psalm 22. And back then, Psalms didn't have numbers. To call out or to reference a Psalm, you would start with the first line. When Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that wasn't just a cry of anguish. It was a direct reference to a psalm that foretells his crucifixion in remarkable detail. In verse 7 of Psalm 22, it says, all who see me mock me. In verse 16, it says, they have pierced my hands and my feet. And in verse 18, it says, they divide my garments among them, as was read during our scripture from Luke. Psalm 22 begins in suffering, but it ends in hope. In verse 27, it says, he has not despised the affliction of the afflicted. He has not hidden his face, but has heard. And in verse 27, it says, all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. So why did Jesus say that first line? He said it, as I said, because he was in Jewish tradition, he was pointing to that entire psalm. He wanted all that heard it and all of us to reference it, to read it, to understand it, and to know that it was about him and what he was doing for us. See, Jesus wasn't just expressing agony. He was pointing us to the full story. The one who sang praise the night before. That one, the one who sang praise the night before, is the one who fulfilled the prophecy the next day. The one who trusted in joy is the one who endured in sorrow for us. He was forsaken so that we wouldn't have to be. He was pierced so that we could be healed. And he died so that we could live. So let's take a look at how Hebrews reflects on this in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. See, this is the Savior we remember. The one who sang. The one who suffered. And the one who now sings in our midst, even as we gather at the table. So as we partake of the bread and the cup, we remember his suffering. We proclaim his death, and we rejoice in the hope of his resurrection.